This today is going to be very raw, very open. There's no edits here today. There is just a bit of a brain and a heart dump that I am going to be sharing. If you know me, you know that I am a outward processor. And this past two weeks have been quite hard. They've been really hard. And in ways that I wasn't expecting. So I would love to give a content warning today. I will be talking about grief, death, murder. I'll be talking about loss and trauma. And so I'm just gonna try to stay up with what I'm saying. If you need to take a break, please do. So the past 2 weeks, I have deeply been navigating grief and triggers. As many of you know that have listened, and if this is your first time here, welcome, buckle up. My life is a bit of a journey. My G-dad died last year. We are in the anniversary month. If you're like, what the hell's a G-dad? I would say my grandfather dad, whom raised me. And we'll talk a little bit more. I will talk a little bit more about how they got to raise me. My grandparents. And, this past April 6th was his birthday. He would have been 78. He, passed away from prostate cancer. Feel free to go back and listen to the DPC episode that came out a little while ago. It is an episode where myself and four of my friends are having a conversation, a discussion about grief and losing parents. And so it was my first birthday without him my entire life. And I had been prepping for it. I had to work the whole day. And I think that was really helpful for me. The buildup, the anniversary, the knowing that this month was already going to be hard. I am also someone that has learned to lean into my resources, and I reminded all my friends and got the support I needed. That evening I knew I had to get up early, so I stayed in a hotel, just easier instead of driving. I made sure that I asked for my needs to be met, which was, when I get there, I would love for my partner to be in the room and greet me. And he did that. And that felt really nice. And also, he checked in on what my needs were. And it was to have a lovely dinner and then just stay cuddled up with him. And that felt really nice. But it was hard, the buildup and the knowing that it was my first birthday without someone that I've experienced so many with. And for those that know what that's like, I wish none of this on any of us. And so, it's been a time. And that happened. And then Monday happened. Monday, I was working as per usual, catching up, had so many things to do. And I did see a news story about there was a child found on the 405. I didn't look at it per se. And I was just like, I'll come back to this. Tuesday, one of my close friends sends me an article. And I open the article and I know the person. I hadn't even seen what the article was, but it was someone that I that I knew. I'm not saying that she and I were friends. I'm saying that we exchanged conversations. There had been conversations around her coming to volunteer with me, and we talked about life, and over the past 3 years, had just shared many conversations. but little did I know that my friend sending me that story was because I knew her, and it was connected to the baby being on the freeway. So I also want to note that I am not centering myself in this. me explaining it is kind of how my brain has also connected with this journey and this stories. And I think that there's a lack of understanding for many people because they've never experienced or been in these types of situations. And I hope that no one ever has to. I am speaking of a woman that went by the name of Danielle Aoki. She was a spiritual practitioner. I loved her guided meditations. I thought that they were so helpful. I used them in my work, and I've been following her work as well. You know, we had had many conversations around trauma and being trauma survivors and just all kinds of stuff. Monday morning, if those of you have not heard of this, you know, check it out. I'll give you a brief summary. Monday morning, very early, argument ensued between Danielle and her partner, which led to her stabbing him in the chest and murdering him. It is noted that she attempted to drag the body out of the place, but for some reason it didn't work out, which she then grabbed her two children. Also, I want to name the person that lost their life, Jalen, because I think it's so important that in all of these conversations, we center the people that have been harmed, because I think so much is focused on the person that caused the harm, which I'll, you know, we're in this, which she then took her two children, which we don't know their names at this time. And, you know, maybe one day we will, maybe we won't, which were an 8-month-old and a 9-year-old. She left the housing place, the apartment she lived in, rammed into the gate on the way out, which we now know because of the 9-year-old. They were on the freeway, and Danielle told the 9-year-old to get out of the car. She refused, where then Danielle pushed her and the 8-month-old out of the car and continued driving off and later crashing and dying, while the 9-year-old was found on the 405 on the side with some injuries, while the baby did not make it from the incident. You know, it looked like 3 different stories. People pieced it together. You can read this. I was deeply hurt and saddened by hearing this story and seeing the levels of it, and also just thinking about it and having a conversation. And I was walking to my mailbox, and it was just resonating with me in a different way. And I was walking to the mailbox, and then it hit me, and it was like, you are so sad for all of these individuals, but you are so sad for that 9-year-old, because you are her in many ways. For those that do not know, and those do know, my mother was murdered by her boyfriend when I was 1 year old. Maybe he's my dad, maybe he's not. I always have just said a possible sperm donor. They had been broken up. It was right before Christmas. He asked her to come over, and stating he had gifts for me. An argument ensued. His sister left the house to try to get help from neighbors. Within that argument, I was there, and he ended up stabbing my mother to death, which I later found out in police reports that I received a few years ago that she was still alive. When the police arrived, he ended up trying to flee with me. His sister was able to get me from him, and he took off in my mother's car. He is a murderer. He murdered my mother. He murdered an elderly couple. He murdered a pimp in Vegas where he was on death row in Vegas, and then he pleaded in the eyes of the court, the language mental retardation, and he is just now supposed to be in jail for life. He has tried to get out numerous times. Last year, he was moved to a prison in the city that I grew up in. My family was not notified, and we were supposed to be. We were supposed to be, and I took it upon myself to always check and see where he was, but there was just so much going on in that time. I can't remember if my dad was extra sick then or what was happening, but I didn't check. So I missed him getting moved until we were reached out to by a detective. He had called me, he had called my mom, my grandmother, and wanted to meet with us because he had been brought to the town I was born in to finally be held accountable for my mother's murder, which when it happened, I was 1 year old, and this happened, I was 36. So 35 years later, he still has not been held accountable for her murder. And fun, the universe is playing in my goddamn face. The next time he is supposed to, as each time it has been postponed, the next time he is supposed to go in front of the judge is my goddamn birthday. I realized it when I was riding home with my partner from a trip. And I was just like, you got to be fucking kidding me. And he was like, what? No, that's like, it's on my goddamn birthday. So I'm really hoping that's a redemption in all the things. But to know what it's like to be this child that is going to have to carry this, I think everyone is so wrapped up in wanting to be so angry at Danielle. And I'm not saying you were right or you were wrong. I think that there's so many things and people that we're not talking about, right? Like, I really want to center this baby's life. That was very short-lived. I really want to center Jalen, who was a partner to this person. I don't know what the argument was about. We may never know, right? Like, as someone that gets the thing, I really want to center this 9-year-old, and I will come back to her. You know, there's those that I went back and looked at her latest posts, which I hadn't seen. And as a mental health provider myself, as I was going back and looking over all the things, you can see where things switched. You can see where her language changed. You can see where she was writing very manically. And who knows what she needed? Who knows if it was bipolar? Who knows if, you know, it was postpartum? But she was definitely manic. In her behaviors, I'm not going to diagnose her. And I really feel like y'all should stop, because you don't know what was happening to this person, what has happened to this person. And it is not an excuse. It is just an understanding. This was her only crime. She didn't just get here, you know, like there's a story and a journey. And maybe she was let down by community, and maybe she wasn't. I don't know. But I do think that us trying to just focus on why she did this is it's unhelpful. You know, it doesn't help this now 9-year-old who is being asked to retell this story, that is the only survivor of this harm. And we'll have to hold this forever, right? Like, she will possibly hold this guilt for not being able to hold onto her sister. Have y'all thought about that? The guilt of many things. Who knows? Again, I don't want to put any feelings on anyone, but she saw it all. And so I truly hope that you all give her space to navigate what she needs to navigate for the rest of her goddamn life, because this is a lifetime experience. I lost my mother at one, and I still have moments and flashes of a possible room, right? Like, I don't know if my brain has made up these scenarios or if these are the actual stories, and she may experience all of that. And so what I also want folks to think about is how many people are still left in the wake of the harm that Danielle has caused. The 9-year-old, again, she lost her whole family, right? Like, I'm not saying she doesn't have extended family, and I don't know if that was her father, but I do know that she lost her mother, her little sibling, and the person who may have been acting as her father in place, or her father, I don't know. Can you imagine what it's like to lose everything so quickly and to visually see it, the trauma of every step of that? The families, her family, Danielle's family, as well as Jalen's family, that loss. The followers of Danielle, right? Like, I know that now there's the conversations of how has she been harmful? Has she been helpful? And I actually don't think any of that matters in this moment. The followers of her might also be, you know, struggling and navigating that as well. The person who ended up hitting that baby on the freeway. The person, the people that were stuck on the 405 and learning what has happened, the police officers, the people that found Jalen, the neighbors that found Jalen. There are so many parts of this that are so hard that thankfully many of you will never have to navigate. And I hope that you never have to. I hope that you never truly have to sit with the shoulda, coulda, wouldas of what your life could have been if these people were not removed in such a traumatic way. Because I think about that every day. I think about what my life would have been like with my mother. Would I be this person? Would I have found the work in trauma? Would I have lived a different life? And I'll never have that answer. And so centering this baby, she will never have all the answers. And that's really fucking hard. It's really hard. And again, we sadly now have a connection of a similar story. That will be consumed and digested and analyzed for the rest of her goddamn life. And so I implore you, as many people that consume true crime stories and have to see a billion fucking Dahmer movies, I implore you to think about her and send her your love. And understanding and giving her space, because it's just been days since her entire life was changed. I always think that I was somewhat grateful to have this happen to me at such a younger age, but also I was listening to something the other day about how most trauma survivors that happen early on, how we experience it and how we navigate it differently and how it shows up. And, you know, I hate that we have to even think about that. And I don't know. I say all of these words to say, I don't know, that I'm deeply sad. And I didn't realize, like many people, how this was going to affect me. And I think there's so many people that are connected to this story. Again, I really hope that you look at the way you consume other people's trauma. Because that's it, right? Like, true crime, you're just consuming someone else's trauma. If you've ever read an article that I have talked about my rape or my mother's murder, you're consuming my trauma. And the ways that you are also taking care of yourself as you consume this, you know? So all of this was happening. And Wednesday happens. And I'm getting through. And Thursday happens. And I don't know at this point. I don't know what day it was. I don't know if it was Wednesday. It might have been Wednesday. I don't know. I don't know if it was Wednesday or Thursday because of time. But I do know that I woke up and I saw that O.J. Simpson had died. And I have no connection to O.J. Simpson. Let's just state that out the gate. I know he got off for possibly murdering, as the law says, murdering two individuals, Nicole and Ron. Again, let us take a moment to center those lives that were lost. And this man, O.J. Simpson, passed away of prostate cancer. If you remember early on, I was talking about how I just celebrated my G-dad's birthday, who also passed away from prostate cancer. I read that OJ had passed away from prostate cancer surrounded by his family. He was a year younger than my grandfather was. And reading it, it took me back to that moment of walking into the hospital room. And seeing my dad's numbers hit zero, that is something that is really traumatic that I can never not see. Walking into that room and seeing my family in different quarters, you know? And I think about his family that has lost this person who, all of the things, right? And so for me, the loss of this person is not the center of this. It is the similarities of an older Black man dying of prostate cancer. It took me back to that moment where I actually was triggered. And it just is very rough in having people send me stories and articles and being like, yay, OJ's dead. Not knowing that I was so sad, not again about his death per se, but knowing I had just missed a chance to have my dad's birthday with him because he also passed away. And I think I say that to remind individuals, you know, you can check in before you send information to people. Like, do you have the capacity to hold this? This is affecting me. Do you have the space to show up right now? I think that's also really important. But they also didn't know. They were just like, this person that possibly caused harm is dead. There's many ways that we as trauma survivors experience being triggered. I didn't know that this week was going to literally disconnect me from my body. And I'm so thankful that one of my friends, Alyssa, who you can listen to, her episode that came out just before this, and she knew I was deeply in the things, and she invited me to a sound bath, which I didn't know if it was going to be overwhelming or not, but had a little microdose, did the sound bath, And I bawled my eyes out for 15 minutes because I felt so stuck in all of this. And as someone that's an outward processor and does this work as a survivor, I think there are the moments and the realizations of our own stories that sometimes we forget and overlook. You know, I think about my life and I often don't think, I'm like, it's not that bad. It's a thing that has happened. And maybe it's because I have forgiven many things. I've been working on forgiveness for myself. Forgiveness is not for other people, just for yourself. But this week, my traumas felt so real and loud. My loss felt so deep and hard that I couldn't. And I am so thankful that I used my people. As soon as I realized, oh, this is the connection, I sent a message to my people. I have a list of people in my head. You know who you are, that I'm like, here's where I'm at. I don't need anything, I don't think. And these people continuously check in on me this week. I don't think I've been this deeply triggered since the time that my rapist a few years ago, 2019, he sent me a Venmo request with the year he raped me for 25 cents. And I remember losing time because of fear, because of I couldn't get back into my body. And I was trying all the things. And this took me back there. And so as also trauma survivors that are consuming this and have whatever connection to this, please take care of yourself. Please lean into your support systems. Please lean into those toolboxes. And also, if you need to fucking do nothing and sit on your couch and watch TV, do it. I think that there's also the idea of you have to throw all these things and do everything, when sometimes what you fucking need to do is sit down and sit in silence or ask for a hug. The purpose of this little rant conversation is really, I'm an outward processor and I needed to say these things out loud, but also a reminder of how you consume other people. And know how hard it is that people are just navigating every goddamn day. You don't know what other people's stories and journeys are. But I will say to that sweet baby that is still alive, give her space, give her time. And don't feel like you need to know every detail. I'm so tired of people being like, well, I need the full story. I need the details. You don't need shit. It's not about you. Stop centering yourself in other people's trauma. It's a lot easier to look at other people's things when you don't want to look at yourself. But this feeling of I need to know everyone's shit, we really got to release that, because that's so fucking harmful and disgusting. So please, if you are a survivor of any type of trauma, domestic violence, witnessing harm, you know, experiencing whatever, please take care of yourself as you consume this information as well. This week was really hard, and I hope you all never have to experience what I have been through. I hope no one ever has to experience what she is now going through, because it changes who you are forever. It changes your path, changes your life. So I hope you take from this a change in the way you address things, a change in the way you consume things, a change in the way that you question things and who you're centering. Because we need to center those that are still surviving and those that have been lost to this violence. Remember, there are so many people that are still alive that have to navigate this experience, including someone that witnessed it, including their family, including the people on the freeway, those that knew Danielle or knew of Danielle. And consider the way that you are navigating on the internet. I did the mistake and took a peek at her last post as I went and looked back. And some of the words in the comments. I will also say this. Words carry energy. And as someone that is a woo girl that looks at astrology and understands all of these things, and having conversations with friends and knowing that you have to stay grounded in reality and regardless, and how easy it is to get swept up and consumed in things, especially if you are navigating other things. Again, I don't know what all she was navigating, but I do know that it couldn't have been easy. So again, I am sending my love to the 9-year-old that is still existing. I am sending my love to the families and those that have to now navigate this new life. I am sending my love to the survivors of the people that the man who murdered my mother has to navigate, including my own family. I am centering my mother, Gayette. I am centering that elderly couple. I am centering that person in Vegas. I am centering also the possible bartender that he murdered. I am centering all of these people because for some reason we want to stay focused on other things. Take care of yourselves as you consume information. Shit's real hard in many ways. So that's it. I'm going to go sit on my couch, drink some tea, and exist. Because shit is hard.